In fact, we know historically that there have been instances where some of those Christian groups, there were several who came to see him, actually accepted Islam. And the Quran seemed to refer to that, because when they accepted Islam, they were rebuked by the Meccan idolatrous people. And the Quran reported them as saying, peace be with you, you know, for us our deeds, to you your deeds. We seek no argument with those who are ignorant. The Quran actually make reference. So they were cases of very positive interaction, aside from what happened, of course, in Mecca, in terms of their relationship with Abyssinia. But then there was also the negative, and it has to be dealt with. There were cases when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sent memorizers of the Quran in order to teach the Quran to certain tribes. They were killed. There were case of a Christian king, Ghassassinites. You know, Ghassassinites were the tribe of Arabs in the northern part of Arabia. Because of their proximity to Byzantium, they became Christian. And one of their kings, the Prophet sent an emissary to him, he kills him. And there was another case. And we know, of course, in international law today, to deliberately kill an ambassador of another country is an act of what? It's an act of war. It's not just against one particular person. But it went beyond that to the gathering of a huge army from the Byzantine Empire, of course, whose rulers and emperors could not stand the religion that says everybody's free in the sight of God, all of us are slaves of God, God is the only master, calling for equality. Like some of them used to say, even this religion is going to turn our slaves against us. And the Prophet did march, actually, to the place which is called Tabuk. Tabuk now is a city in the northern part of Saudi Arabia. But fortunately, the Byzantine army dispersed and there was no battle. So there were cases also where battle took place. And later on, when aggression again was repeated or was prepared for, it was aborted also by action against aggression. And there is no bones about it. The Quran is quite clear that you have only two reasons to go to the battlefield. And some of you might have heard the BBC Asia radio. There was an interview with Sheikh Abdullah Hakim and myself. It was made clear there that so long as people are living and coexisting in peace, you have no right to fight against them. The two reasons for fighting in the battlefield or jihad, the combative type of jihad, which is one of many, is either aggression or oppression. The Quran is quite clear. In chapter 2, verses 190 through 194, it begins by saying, fight in the way of God those who fight against you, but commit no excesses or aggression, for God doesn't love the aggressor or those who commit excess. It can be translated both ways. Second reason is found a couple of verses after. Fight until there is no more oppression. And religion belongs to God. That means there will be freedom of religion for Muslims and others as well. These are the only reasons. And when there were cases, and there were cases of oppression and aggression, that justified, again, fighting against them to protect peace and to protect freedom as well. The third encounter, we talked about Jews, Christians, encounter with Arabs. You know, the tribal society in Arabia, one has to understand that it was a very violent world in which Islam was born. If you read the book by Karen Armstrong about the life of the Prophet, she had a very interesting statement, which she says that Islam was born in a very violent world. You know, all this rivalry between the Byzantian and the Persian and all of this. And you didn't have Kofi Annan or United Nations if they were good enough for stopping conflict even. There was nothing like that. So to survive, you've got to deal with the situation as it arises. But the Prophet tried again to avoid bloodshed. How did he do that? He used to send expeditions to the tribes surrounding Medina. Why? Because there is a great fear that they might come under pressure and intimidation even from the dominant Meccan tribe of Quraysh to join forces with them against Muslims. In some cases, some of those people said, look, Muhammad, peace be upon him, we give you our word. We're not going to fight against you. We're not going to help anyone fighting against you. In other words, mutual you know, peaceful relationship with you. The Prophet never said no, but you have to come under our control or rule. And this is known actually as a term, technical term, muada'a. You say, Sara ilayhim wa wada'u. Muada'a means having a peaceful agreement, leave them alone, but will not touch you. The motto of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his reach out to these tribes is very interesting as you compare it with Mr. Bush's statement. He said, basically, I mean, his approach can be summed up. If you're not with us, don't hurt us. Not an arrogant, tyrannical, undemocratic statement. If you're not with us, you're with the enemy. That's undemocratic. It doesn't give me a chance to say I am against the enemy and against your rash policy and deception. Can't you take that position? No, you're not entitled. With us or with the enemy, and the enemy are terrorists, so you're a terrorist, and terrorists can be killed anywhere. If you're not with us, don't hurt us. See the fairness. And we're talking 1400 years before the civilized time that we are living in today. But then there were aggression also. In the case of Arabs, like Jews and Christians, this was the positive. There was the negative also, and it has to be dealt with for Muslims to survive, or else Islam would have been, as the Arabs say, fi khabar kana, would have disappeared totally from the face of the earth. And assault after assault was made against Muslims by the Meccan Arabs and their allies. The Prophet was giving the permission for the first time, not in Mecca, in Medina, and later in Medina, to fight back, to preserve their existence and defend their survival, which is a basic human right for anyone. No wonder, as the commentators of the Quran indicate, that the first verse that was revealed in the Quran that ever gave permission for Muslim to fight back is in Surah Al-Hajj, that chapter 22 in the Quran, which says permission has been given to the believers, those who have been oppressed, that indeed wrong has been done to them, that Allah is able to give them victory. The first ever that gave permission. And by the way, some interesting remark. One time I was discussing with a Christian friend of mine, and he said, look, your prophet engaged in a battlefield, yet Prophet Jesus, or Jesus, never lifted a finger even and maintained his peace throughout his mission. I asked him, how long was the mission of Jesus? He said, most scholars say, 3 years. He said, indeed, we love Jesus, we believe in him, and he should get credit for withholding his hands and asking his followers to withhold their hands for a complete 3 years under persecution. But don't you also give credit to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that he withheld his hand for 13 years, not 3 years, 13 years in Mecca, before even permission came to fight back in Medina. And the situation was different from the time of Jesus to the time of Prophet Muhammad. Again, you cannot compare the two situations historically and put them in the same bag. Here I'd like to indicate one thing. A particular incident that was very important in terms of the shaping of the Muslim etiquette in the battlefield, that unfortunately many, including some Muslims, no apology, the Quran says you have to say the truth even if it's against yourself or your close kins. Many Muslims even have grossly misinterpreted that reference in the Quran. How many times have you heard in polemical literature and assaults on Islam and all in all media that the Quran teaches hatred and violence? It sanctions it. It even commands its followers, because they say the Quran say, go and kill the unbeliever wherever you find him. Is there anyone here who hasn't heard that yet? I'm sure you've heard it. Islam say, go and kill the unbelievers wherever you find them. First of all, first mistake or distortion. It doesn't say unbelievers. Those who know Arabic, it says al-mushrikeen.